We're looking at Ephesians today and not Exodus. Next week we're going to look at Exodus, but I believe we're going to do three chapters. So I thought I would wait for next week to do three chapters of Exodus as we look at the building of the tabernacle. This morning we're going to look at the topic of the family, and to do that we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6. It's Ephesians 6. If you're following in the Pew Bible, it's on page 1159, 1159. Praise be to God. This is the word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. See, they use the word exasperate because a lot of children don't know what that means. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Lord Jesus, again, you've given us your truth and your word. Give us the wisdom to understand and the strength through your Holy Spirit to obey. Praise you and thank you, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name, amen. This section of Ephesians that I'm looking at this morning deals with practical guidelines for Christian living. And this section from Ephesians 5 and then much of 6 deals with practical guidelines for families. How we as Christians are to behave in our families because we are Christians. See, being a Christian makes us radically new. Radically new. New thoughts, new beliefs, new Lord, new actions in our lives. How to behave as Christians. We're going to look what it means to be Christian parents and Christian children to parents. I want to begin by taking a brief look and look at the state of the family in America today. I want to begin with a quote. This is a quote from James Dobson. Dobson has probably been the foremost Christian family counselor in America today. His focus on the family has been at the forefront of family development for probably 40, 50 years now. I'm going to quote a book he wrote, Children at Risk. He wrote this book almost 30 years ago. In some ways, notice the prophetic voice that is in this book. Dobson says this, "Nothing short of a great civil war of values rages today throughout North America. Two sides with vastly differing and incompatible worldviews are locked in a bitter conflict that permeates every level of society. Bloody battles are being fought on 1,000 fronts, both inside and outside of the government. Open any daily newspaper, and you will find accounts of the latest Gettysburg, Waterloo, Normandy, and Stalingrad. Instead of fighting for territory or military conquest, however, the struggle is now for the hearts and minds of the people. It is a war over ideas. On one side of the continental divide are the traditional people whose values begin with the basic assumption that God is. From that understanding comes a far-reaching system of thought that touches every dimension of life. Their beliefs are deeply rooted in Scripture. Until about the 1960s, these biblically based concepts were the dominant values and beliefs in Western society. Then, slowly at first, another way of looking at the world began to emerge. It evolved from the basic assumption that God isn't. Everything emanated from the Creator was jettisoned, including reverence for Scripture or any transcendent universal truths. Right was determined what seemed right at the particular time. Dobson goes on in his book to say there are great two defenders of the traditional view on family. Those two great defenders are the church and the family. And what's different in this day and age, what is tragic in this day and age, because we have seen assaults on morality in society again and again throughout the ages, through the Dark Ages, through the Elizabethan time. There have been times when the family has been assaulted. But there's a difference today. Because through these times in the past, the church has always stood up as a picture of morality. is upholding the truth of God's word for family. The problem today is this: in many, many ways, in many, many churches, the truth has been made to look like the truth of the world. The church, in many ways, has lost its prophetic and moral voice in our society. And the result is families. Families have terribly, terribly suffered over the past 30 or 40 years. We are seeing, tragically, in so many cases, the breakdown of families in America. God is the inventor of families. God created the family unit in order to bring to people a place of safety, a place of growth, a place of joy, a place of passing down right and wrong. But in every case, God gives his command and his directions to the family to be voluntary. God does not force anyone to be obedient as a father, to be obedient as a mother, or to be obedient as a child. There is no forced obedience in Scripture. Husbands are free to not care for wives. Children are not forced to honor their parents when they get to a certain age. But we must understand this. God loves his creation. God gives guidelines for the good of his people, for the good of his children. But when we ignore the guidelines of God, we must expect to have breakdowns of society. When we ignore the guidelines of God for family, the inevitable result is the breakdown of family. Again, the vast majority of families are wonderful, good families in this nation. My wife calls parents almost every week. If one of her students, and she teaches ninth grade Spanish, if one of her students starts to fail or starts to fall behind, she will call a parent. And eight times out of ten, the parents are wonderful. You mean little Johnny isn't doing his homework? Well, I'll make sure little Johnny or Johnette will do his or her homework. Make sure I know what it is. You know, everything in school is so different. Everything now is online. All school assignments must be online. The parents can check on their work of their child every single day in this day and age in the modern school. It's all online. And my wife would just say, just check this and see what the child is doing or not doing. Most parents are very good, but every once in a while, she will get a parent who absolutely refuses to cooperate. In fact, she had one just a couple months ago who said, you mean you can't control Johnny in your classroom? She says, I haven't been able to control Johnny for 5 years. Good luck for you. And of course, she couldn't control Johnny in her classroom. I mean, again, we are seeing this struggle in families today. I want to turn to our text. Our text again says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. To honor. We're not looking at just obedience here. We are looking at honoring parents. Honor means, I looked this up in the dictionary, to esteem and value as precious. To esteem and value as precious. That means that we don't want of our children and our grandchildren just reluctant obedience. We want honoring and caring. We are to care for our parents at whatever age we are. At whatever age we are to care for our parents, to honor our parents. Have you ever been in public and you see the opposite of honoring, caring, and obedient of children? Have you ever seen children, this is becoming more and more common, whether in a restaurant, a supermarket, or wherever, where the child is just blatantly disobeying. Even sometimes, I've seen children swearing at parents. And I often see parents who then try to coddle the children. Oh, Johnny, we're in public. Try to be good for 2 or 3 minutes. Oh, if you're good, I will give you more candy and more candy and more candy, or whatever the bribe might be. Children out of control. Tragic. Not the will of God. 2 Timothy 3:1 says this, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying its power. We are seeing the struggle our society has today, where God is not honored and parents are not honored. I want to share 3 reasons now why children of any age should obey and honor their parents. Reason number one, we obey and honor our parents because it is the order of creation. Our text says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is how God created us. Scripture gives expectations of fathers, of mothers, and of children. Often today in age, we see the lowering of expectations. I'm going to read again from Dobson's book, Children at Risk. Remember, this was written 30 years ago, and I really think we can hear a prophetic voice. Dobson writes this, by reading the press and monitoring the media, it has been possible, I think, to identify a host of objectives that might be called the family agenda of the left. Listed below are their goals as I perceive them. Goal number one, convince the public that the training and development of the children are far too important to be left to the whims and errors of parents. Instead of a family, you need a village. Number two, propagandize heavily against the use of corporal punishment as a disciplinary measure with children. Equate it with child abuse, even when administered judiciously by a loving parent. It says living, at least in my note. What does it say up there? It'd be hard to do it if you're not living. Yeah. Number three, teach students that gay and lesbian lifestyles are no less moral than heterosexual relationships. Number four, demystify the occult. Shirley MacLaine has assisted immensely here. Number five, remove all reference of God from school literature, such as regards to the pilgrims' worship on Thanksgiving. Number six, repeal all laws relating to obscenity and even child pornography. Number seven, make homemakers feel exploited, stupid, and useless. Number eight, implement an aggressive sex ed program beginning in kindergarten that is guided by no moral code. Safe sex is the centerpiece. The agenda of the left, of those who are not pro-God and pro-family, 30 years ago. And we can see the progress that they have made in our society very, very purposefully the last 30 years in America. Honoring our parents is a right thing to do. It's how God created us in order to honor and respect our parents. Reason number two, we obey parents because it is commanded of us. Again, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. We looked a number of weeks ago at the Ten Commandments. We saw the purpose of the Ten Commandments. No one obeys the Ten Commandments perfectly. The purpose of the Ten Commandments is not to bring people into a right relationship with God. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen through obedience. The purpose of the Ten Commandments is to teach us how, because we have an intimate relationship with Christ, we are therefore to live. No one is saved by the Ten Commandments. We are saved by the cross of Christ. We are saved by Christ. But the Ten Commandments give us guidelines for Christian living. Guidelines. The fifth commandment says, honor your father and mother so you may live long in the land that the Lord God is giving you. What does this mean? Does this mean that if you don't honor your parents, you'll die young? Not necessarily. Or that if a person dies young, it's because they didn't obey their parents? No. This is talking about two different kinds of death. First, this is talking about societal death. When families break down, society dies. We are to live in the land. To quote Martin Lloyd Jones, he put it this way: whether we like it or not, a breakdown in home life will eventually lead to a breakdown everywhere. This is surely the most menacing and dangerous aspect of the state of society at this present time. Once the family idea, the family unit, is broken up, once that goes, soon you will have no other allegiance. It is the most serious thing of all. God gives us families to build up society. But there is another implication in our text about death. There is also spiritual death. When we disobey and dishonor our parents, we disobey and dishonor God. And that causes a rift between us and God. And that causes spiritual death in a person. We are to obey and honor our parents because that is God's will. Reason number three, we obey and honor parents because of love and grace. Because of love and grace. What is our basis of the relationship that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ? Here's what I hope it is not, and I don't believe it is for many people here. It is not merely out of obligation. It is not merely out of blind obedience and fear of retribution. It is not primarily out of fear. Why do we have an intimacy of relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ? Because of love. Because he loved us, we return that love to him. Because of his love, we love him. We are saved by grace, a free gift from God. Relationship is based not on fear, on obedience, but on love. That's true with our kids. That's true with our children. Truthfully, when obedience is based on command or fear, when the child becomes a teenager, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. Love must be based on intimacy, must be based on care and love. And then obedience continues through the teen years, through the adult years, because it's based on love. Why are we obedient and honoring of our children? Because it is love, based on love. I'm going to close the sermon with two illustrations that took place in my life. When Kim and I first gave birth to Aaron, we did what I think many parents do. We read Christian books. I read Dobson and a couple other Christian books. And almost every counselor, every Christian psychologist has the same advice. Do not punish children most severely for disobedience. I mean, punish them for that, but not more. The most severe punishment should be reserved for dishonoring. For dishonoring. Aaron and Adam were not allowed to in any way dishonor their parents, each other, or other adults. And dishonoring can come in many forms. Dishonoring can come from sarcastic words. How many have ever had a child roll their eyes at you? How many have ever had a child kind of do an attitude? That is all dishonoring to each other as siblings and to their parents. Require children to honor, not just obey, but honor. Honor each other, honor parents, and honor other adults, even though you disagree. No parent is perfect. No child is perfect. But still continue to honor and demand respect for all. You see, the goal as parents is not just proper behavior. The goal of parents is proper attitude. Attitude leads to behavior. Behavior does not necessarily lead to attitude. Demand attitude that honors God and honors parents. The second example for my life, which was a struggle in my life for many, many, many years, decades, I had a struggle really honoring my father. Many of you know the story. When I was a senior in high school, my parents separated. My primary and maybe my only memory from my childhood was my parents fighting. I think I've shared before, until the day my mother died, her name for my father, and whenever she referred to my father, it was the bastard. That was what she called it until the day I died. It was a terribly, terribly broken relationship. And I saw and I witnessed tremendous disabuse of my mom. I mean, not physically, but my mom got the raw end of the deal for most of her life, got nothing in a divorce settlement. My dad just got up one day and says, "Hey, I'm moving to Florida, goodbye." He was gone, and that was it. I had tremendous struggle honoring and respecting my dad. He also has a personality which is very different than my personality. But I am a Christian. And the command to me was to honor my father. To honor my father. Even though I disagreed with him, it was to honor my father. I prayed for decade after decade, every single day, that I would honor my father. And my father and I ended up having a good relationship. He was remarried in Florida. We would talk a couple times a month. My family would make a point every year when my children were growing up to go down and visit him at least once a year. To honor is the command of Scripture. Doesn't mean our parents always make right choices. Doesn't mean that they are Christians and my parents were not. Does not mean that they do good things, but we are to honor our parents. My struggle that I had. Children, obey your parents as unto the Lord. Children, we are called at whatever age we are to love and honor our parents. Praise God for the moms and dads he has given to us. Praise God for the children and grandchildren that he has given to us. The good news is this. God is in control. And God blesses families who are obedient to him. Let me say that again. Even in this day and age, when it's a struggle, God blesses families that are obedient to him. He blesses our children. He blesses our grandchildren. Let us look to him for strength and obedience. Lord Jesus, praise you and thank you. Thank you, Lord God, that you have called us to be your children. We love you. We love you, Lord. You are our Heavenly Father. We are part of this church. We are part of your family, the family of believers. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for our families, moms and dads, children, grandchildren, grandmas, grandchildren. We just thank you and praise you, Lord. This day, Lord, bless our families. Again, Lord, for those families that are struggling, we praise for your hand. For families that are facing serious medical issues, we pray for your hand of healing. Again, Jesus, thank you and praise you. In Christ's name, amen.